But we are holding on the second line from the bottom of Cook Good Test on the base. Second line from the bottom of Cook Good Test on the base. The line begins with Bama. Cook Good Test on the base. Second to last line. Second line from the bottom. Okay, so we started talking about, so our Mishnah had mentioned one of the things you don't need at a Bama Kana is you don't need Mechis to Bedamim, you don't need a marker around the middle of the Mizbeach to mark off what blood has to go on the top half versus the bottom. So then we had two versions of what Rami Bachama said, which in turn, within that, we have two different versions between Rishonim of what the Girsa is. That in any case, the point is that the way we had it printed in the Gemara is the first version of Rami Bachama distinguished between whether the korban was originally meant to be brought on a Bama Ketana, and then he actually ended up offering on a Bama Ketana, versus where he could have brought it on the Bama Ketana and wanted to, and in the end brought it on the Bama Ketana. And then in the second version, it was the other way around, that the second version, the way it's printed in the Gemara, it was the other way around. That if he meant to bring them on the Bama Ketana and ended up actually bringing them there, then you would need Mechis to Bedamim, then you would need this marker and put the blood on the proper half, but in all the other cases, not. That was what Rami Bachama had said, if we went to two versions as we had it printed in front of us in the Gemara. Then on the side, we had a different girsa, which is the girsa that Rashi uses, that the first version is, he said, the first version of Rami Bachama in that one is similar to the second one we have in the Gemara, that the only case you need Mechis to Bedamim is if you meant to bring it on the Bama Ketana and actually brought it there. In every other case, you wouldn't need Mechis to Bedamim. And then the second version was, it wasn't a matter of that, it was a matter of during a time when Bama Ketana are mutter versus when they're off.
The reverse.
Yeah, well, not the reverse, according to the second version, according to the one on the side. Bama Ketana, everybody agrees, you can only bring voluntary korban. Oilus and Shlomim, and then according to the mayor, also Menachos, and some of the korbanos of Menachos. So the point is, so we have two different versions of what Rami Bachama is saying, that sometimes you need Mechis to Bedamim, and sometimes you don't. So the Gemara says, Pligah de Rabbi Elazar. This that Rami Bachama says disagrees with what Rabbi Elazar says. Namely, Rabbi Elazar says that if you take an oila which could have been brought on a bamas yachid, and he brought it into the azara, so he actually brought it to the bamas gola in Gilgal or in Noiva Givon and brought it into the azara. Kultur mechitzes lechol dober, the mechitzes of the azara have grabbed it for all purposes. Now it has all the dinim of Obama's Gola. So again, in Rami Bachama's statement, he distinguished between whether it was meant to be brought on the Bama Ketana and brought on the Bama Gola or not, or in his second version, whether it was meant to begin, yeah, in the second version also, whether it was meant to be brought on the Bama Gola versus when he actually brought it on a Bama Ketana. Or on the side, there was a side version over there, Rashi's version, was that one was a distinction, again, between Bama Ketana and Bama Ketana, and the other was as far as times, when it's also when it's Mutter. Rabbi Elazar is clearly saying, though, that never mind all that. If you did bring it into the Azara, then it has all the dinim of a korban in the Azara, including that it would mean Mechitza Bedamim. So not like Rami Bachama is saying that sometimes, even though you brought it into the Azara, it won't need Mechitza Bedamim, depending on the different versions of him. Rabbi Elazar is saying that you need a marker around the middle of the Mizbeach, that some blood goes on the top half and some on the bottom half. Rabbi Elazar is saying that if you bring an Ola that was supposed to be on Bamas Yachid, and you brought it with Nim into the Azara, then Kultur Mechitzes, the Mechitzes have grabbed it, and that's it. Now it becomes the carbon of a Bamas Gola, and there's no difference whether what it was meant to be to begin with.
In the previous version,
according to Rami Bachama, we said there was going to be a distinction, whether you intended to bring it on a Bamas Ketana and ended up bringing it on the Bamas Gola or not.
Kultur
means it grabbed it. It means it grabbed it. The mechitzes, like mikvah, so the mechitzes, so to speak, protected it. Like now it becomes, no, not like that. It's kolat, kuf lamed tes. No, it's not. Lamed kuf tes and kuf lamed tes. No, the letters are mixed. Now Rashi learns what Rabbi Elazar is talking about is the case if you shechted it outside the Azara, and then you brought it into the Azara, so then we're saying Kultura Mechitzis. Tosfos discusses that, especially because Tosfos brings the different Girsois, so in this part of the Gemara also, there's the original Girsa, and then there's the original Girsa that Rashi changes it to, where Tosfos explains that one difference would be, according to the Girsa, as we have it printed in the Gemara in front of us, it could end up that what Rabbi Lazar is talking about is actually, even if you brought in the korban while it's still alive, then Rabbi Lazar would say Kultura Mechitzis, and now you can't take it out and check. Okay. So now Rav Zera acts into the Azara of Gilgal or Nori forgiven. Yeah. So now Rav Zera acts in this connection. So now what would happen? The oilo that was supposed to be on a bomas yachid, on a private bomber, where he brought it into the Azara, and then he took it out of the Azara. Now, what would be the din? So Rashi explains, in other words, again, according to Rashi, we're talking about that he shechted it outside. So now, let's say he brought it into the Azara. We're now, based on what Rav Elazar was saying, in Kultura Mechitzis, and now you should have to sprinkle the blood and do the rest of the avodas on the Bama Gdola. But now he took it back out. Does it have the din still of a Bama Gdola? Again, according to Tosfos, the question would rather be, what if you brought it in while it was alive and then you took it out again? Are you required to bring it back in? Do we say, well, once it came in, the mechitzas have been koilat it, now it's considered a korban of the bomah gdola, and therefore, even if you took it back out, you're going to have to bring it back in and continue the avodah? Or maybe not. Once it was taken back out afterwards, it started out originally outside, you brought it in, then you took it back out, so maybe it's considered. Okay, that's it. Well, okay, if you want to put it that way, fine. But that's the question. In other words, once you brought it in and then you took it out, do we say that Kultura Mechitzis, and therefore it has a din of Pnim, or not? Kivin to Hodr Hodr. Once it returned to where it was originally, outside the Azara, then maybe that's it. It returned there, and therefore that's it. Then it does. If we say that Kultura Mechitzis, and Rashi says, for example, if it's a shlomin, you would still have to have Trumas Kaz Meshoyt. You'd still have to take off the chest and the thigh and wave them and give them to the Kohen. As opposed to, if you say that Kidim the Hodr Hodr, then we would say it goes back to being Kodshid Bamakana. And we said in our Mishnah that Kodshid Bamakana do not need Trumas Kaz Meshoyt, among other things. So therefore, that would be that. Well, I mean, it's not really relevant to halacha because bomb is off there anyway, right? But okay, you know, it's a question in the Gemara. Again, Tosfos talks about that let's say you're talking about that it was brought in alive, and Kultura, do you need now that it has all the usual rules of a korban of bomb gdola, where you need a kohen dafka to the avoda, and you have to wash your hands and feet, and so forth, or once it was taken out, then it can go back to being kodshim of bomb gdola. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lab Hainu Plug the Rabba Rav Yosef. Well, isn't that the same, this that Rav Zera is asking, isn't it essentially the same thing as the argument of Rabba and Rav Yosef? Bitznan, as we learn in a Mishnah, in Me'ilah, Kodshe Kodshim, we learned earlier in the Masechta that they have to be shechted in the north, Kodshe Kodshim Shatasim Bachtoflin. Let's say they were shechted in the south side of the Azara. Moil and Behen, Me'ilah still applies to them. You don't say, Rashi says, you don't say that it's considered just like they were killed without proper shechita, where then the rule would be, if you had Kodshe Kodshim that just died naturally, or died without a proper shechita or whatever, the din is Me'ilah wouldn't apply to them anymore. We don't say that in this case. We say it was a proper shechita, it was a shechita that was possible. But if the pieces of them were put on the Mizbeach, then you don't take them off the Mizbeach, because b'diavad, they still stay on the Mizbeach. Now, Rashi is not Gerdus like that. Rashi is actually Gerdus,
but here they're talking about
but that's not the point. The point is, one second, we're going to see how this relates to our issue over here. We're going to see. Wait. The point is, okay, so before we get to that, though, Rashi doesn't have the gear theme. Ololo Yerdu, in fact, you have some of the, in fact, Rashi mentions over here different gersois over here. In the next part over here, Yodim Rashi Maoshi Yalu. Rashi is not Gerdus, this part in parenthesis, Im Ololo Yerdus. The Rambam apparently is Gerdus there. The Rambam in fact holds Saka when it comes to Kodshin that was shechted in the south, Im Ololo Yerdu. And a lot of the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam asks, the Mishnah in Me'ilah doesn't say that. The Mishnah in Me'ilah says differently. The one answer is that Rambam is basing himself on our Sugya to say that Im Ololo Yerdu. Okay, anyway, continuing to the end. The Boilahu, now in connection with that mission in Me'ilah, they had a question, Yodu Ma'u Shiyalu. So what if they were taken off the Mizbeach? Do you bring them back up onto the Mizbeach? So here's where Rashi brings a different Girsa, not Yodu Loyalu, but the other way around. Olu Ma'u Shiyalu. If they were brought up onto the Mizbeach, do you take them off? Again, because Rashi is not Gerdus in Olu Loyalu, we don't, as far as we know, you don't put them on the Mizbeach. As far as we know, you should take them off the Mizbeach. So therefore, the question is, if they were put up, Taka, what's the din? Do you take them off or not? Because the Mishnah didn't say anything about him, all the way over according to Rashi. Rashi is mentioning over here that the Mishnah in the Ilah doesn't say any such thing. It doesn't. The Gemara discusses it. So our Girsah in front of us in the Gemara is Yodu Maoshiyalu. That Tosfos has that Girsah. But the Rashi does not. Rashi has the Girsah. That's the question. What do you mean? How Tosfos and Rashi can have different Girsahs in the Gemara? They're different manuscripts, no? In fact, Tosfos says the Girsah that Tosfos quotes is the original Girsah in the Gemara that existed in the manuscripts in their time. Rashi, on the basis of, to equate it with the Sugya in Me'ilah, changed the Girsah over here. And again, apparently the Rambam accepted the Girsah as we have it in front of us as well, which is why he passed them the way he does against the Gemara in Me'ilah and in favor of the Sugya over here. All right, anyway. Yodu Maoshiyalu, so if they were taken off the Mizbeach, do you put them back up? Or, according to Rashi, the question is the other way around. Olu Maoshiyodu, if you put them on the Mizbeach, do you take them off? So Rabba Omer Lo Yalu, Rabba says you should not put them up. Meaning, so the Girsah we have in front of us over here is Yodu Maoshiyalu. Rabba would say once they were taken off the Mizbeach, you leave them off. You do not put them back up on the Mizbeach. And Rav Yosef, Amar Yalu, Rav Yosef would say you do put them back up. According to Rashi's Girsah, it would be the other way around. The question was, Olu Maoshi Yerdu. Rabba says, yes, absolutely, you take them off the Mizbeach. And Rav Yosef says, no, once it's on the Mizbeach already, then you leave them. The reason is because Rabba would be saying, according to Rashi's understanding, Rabba would be saying, since they were shechted in the south, then it's not considered a proper shvita. It's the equivalent of the animal having died. Rav Yosef would disagree with that. So we see, therefore, that Rabba holds of the concept of kultur mechitzis, once it was inside the mechitzis of the Azara. Now, granted, they were talking about Yerushalayim, you were talking about Gilgal and Noiv and Given, but it's the same basic concept that Rabba would say that just because it was inside the Azara and even shechted over there, doesn't matter because it was shechted in the wrong place. You still take it off the Mizbeach. And Rav Yosef says kultur mechitzis. So that would apply to our discussion over here also. When Rav Zera is asking if you brought it in and then you brought it back out, what's the din? Apparently that would depend on the machlokas, Rabba and Rav Yosef. The answer is no. Tiboy le Rabba, tiboy le Rav Yosef. No, it's not necessarily the same thing. You could ask Rav Zera's question according to Rabba, you could ask it according to Rav Yosef. Tiboy le Rabba, you could ask it according to Rabba as follows. I'm kind of like Omer Rabba, Elogam is Beach. You know when Rabba is saying that you take it off the Mizbeach or you don't put it on the Mizbeach? That's because we're talking about the Mizbeach, where the rule is the Chazi Le Mekadosh, the Le Chazi Le Mekadosh, where we established before in Perek HaMizbeach Mekadosh, how we said at the beginning of the Perek there, HaMizbeach Mekadosh Es HaRoy Loi, the Mizbeach of Mekadosh only something that's suitable for it. Well, fine, this is not something, the Chazi, that's suitable for it. Well, this is not something that's suitable. This is not something that's Roy. According to Rabba, it's considered a completely possible shitta. It's not considered, according to Rabba, Psulei Bakodesh, where we said that you leave it on the Mizbeach, in Olo Lo Yerdu. He would say this is the equivalent of having strangled the animal or otherwise killed it without a proper shitta. So according to him, it's not something that belongs on the Mizbeach. So therefore, you could say, according to Rabba, that's why you don't put it on the Mizbeach or you take it off, as the case may be. Where it was shechted on the south side. Kodshin, that was shechted on the south side. Abba Mechitza, but you could argue when you're asking about Rav Zera's question concerning the Mechitza, if you brought it into the Mechitza of the Azara and then you took it out again, what happened? You could argue, Apple calls you like Colty. You could argue the concept that the Mizbeach is Mekadosh only certain things. Fine, we have a Pasuk that says, Kol HaNegeah B'Mizbeach Yikdosh, and we learned from the Pasuk, Ki HaOyla HaMokdal HaMizbeach, that it only applies to certain kinds of stolen. They have to be, in a certain sense, similar to the Oyla. But Mechitzis, you never find any place where it says that there's any limitation on what the Mechitzis accomplish or don't accomplish. So Rabba could argue that even if it's something that's a tool of the kind that doesn't belong on the Mizbeach, maybe the Mechitzis are able to be toileted.
Maybe.
So therefore, Rabba Lazarus and Rabba Zera, rather, can be asking this question according to Rabba. Not necessarily just because Rabba says that it's possible to go on the Mizbeach doesn't mean that cultural Mechitzis doesn't work either. And you can ask Reb Zera's question even according to Reb Yosef. So it's not the same discussion, because Ad Kan Laka Amar Reb Yosef Asam El Bechad Makom. You know why Reb Yosef is saying that you leave it on the Mizbeach, or you put it on the Mizbeach according to the different gear sides, is because after all, it's all in one area. It's all inside the Azara. Okay, it was on the south side instead of where it was supposed to be on the north side. But it's all within the walls of the same Azara. But over here, we're talking about inside versus outside the Azara. It's two physically different places. So therefore, maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yosef would say that the Mechitzis are not correlative. Again, maybe there's no difference. And the answer is we don't know. We don't know the answer to Rabbi Zera's question. Given that you can ask it both according to Rabbah and according to Rabbi Yosef, then we don't have an answer. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Milsa de pshitale l'rebbe. No, when Mashiach comes, and now we can still give us an answer. It won't be negei l'alacha, but it'll still be negei. It's still part of the Torah. It's still part of Chochmah Seder Tzon Shalach Kadosh Baruch Hu. We'll still want an answer.
You
asked. Okay. So the Gemara points out.
Okay.
Milsa de pshitale l'rabba b'chad gisa. Now, so what did we say so far? We said that according to Rabba, it's an obvious fact in one direction. That this turban that was shechted on the south side, we said, Rabba says it does not belong on the Mizbeach. You don't put it on the Mizbeach. You don't put it on the Mizbeach, or if it's taken off the Mizbeach, you don't put it back on, or even if it was put on, you do take it off, according to the different gear size. So Rabba had taken it as a given in that direction. And Rabbi Yosef had taken it b'pshitos in the other direction, that in all cases it does b'dieved belong on the Mizbeach, and therefore im olu lo yodu, you leave it, or even if it was taken off, then you put it back on. So that topic mi boile le Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai found it necessary to question that detail regarding that issue. Because Rabbi Yanai asks in this connection, going back now to the concept of Bamas Yachid, he asks as follows. Evrei Olaf Bamas Yachid, suppose you have the Ivorim of an Ola that was meant to be offered on a Bamas Yachid. Again, Rashi learns meaning that it was shechted by a Bamas Yachid. Now these pieces were placed on the Bama Gola in the Mishkan, the Yodu, and then they were taken off. Mahu, so what would be the din? So again, Rabba would say with a pshitter as well, it was shechted outside the Azara. Therefore, it has no business being on the Mizbeach in Olo Yodu. Rabbi Yosef would say, okay, so we said before, actually, maybe Rabba would distinguish, maybe Rabba would still say, Kulturu Mechitzis. Rabbi Yosef, we said, on the one hand, we could argue, would say, leave it on the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach is a Kaddish. On the other hand, maybe there's a difference between one place and another. In any case, Rabbi Yanai has a question, that what would be the din in this case, you put them on the Mizbeach, then you took them off the Mizbeach, now what happens to them? Are you supposed to put them back onto the Mizbeach, or do you keep them off the Mizbeach and burn them wherever you are outside the Azara?
It goes back to the previous discussion.
No, so that's the thing. We're saying that Rabba takes as a given that there are certain cases when a korban was shechted in the wrong place and it's not considered a shechita at all. Rabbi Yosef, who says that it is, Rabbi Yanai has a question about that. Rabbi Yanai is asking. He's asking the question. In fact, also, you have some of the Mephoshim understand that he's also implicitly disagreeing with Rabbi Lazar. Because Rabbi Lazar had said as a given that there's a concept of kultur mechitzis, and Rabbi Yanai apparently is disagreeing with that. So the question is whether you put them on the Mizbeach, Then you took them off. What do you do with them? What do you do with them? Or again, Rashi has a different gears over here. Mahu shiyodu. You put them on the mizbeach. Should you be taking them off?
Rabbi Yana's question
is because they were shechted outside the Azara, and they had no business really at that point being brought into the Azara. So therefore,
we
put them.
Didn't
no, we didn't. We've discussed Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef in terms of when it was shechted within the Azara, but in the wrong place. Now we're dealing with, so Rav Zera had asked the question, whether Kultur Mechitzas, if it was brought in and taken back out. Now this is a related question. It's not exactly the same thing, though.
Because that's the difference,
because here it is on the Mizbeach. So, hey, it was shechted outside, it was put on the Mizbeach, now it was taken off the Mizbeach, but it's still in the Azara, what do we do with it? Or, according to Rashi, do we take it off the Mizbeach? And the Gemara continues, hey, Chadalim, Mosh Labana, or, now, if the fire has not yet started, bruning them, dominating over them, literally is the word mashla, loyti boilach. Then there's no question. It hasn't become lachma yet, it hasn't really become the food of the mizbeach, so therefore no question, take it off. Kiti boilach hecha the mashla behena ur. The question rather would be, if mashla behena ur, if the fire already started burning them, do we say at that point it's considered lachma yishom mizbeach, it's considered the food of the mizbeach, therefore we should leave them, or not?
That's the question.
So that's Rav Yana's. Okay, so that's the question. What?
When the
fire you put it on the mizbeach, and the fire already started burning.
That's the time.
Yeah. So that's the question. And again, the answer is take, or we don't know. Okay.
How would we know
when the Shiyam comes?
How would we answer this question about the fire if we could even answer the other questions with preceding that step?
Okay. Because now that the fire started burning it, maybe it's a different case. Maybe it's a different case. And again, you also have Tosfos. We have Rashi's explanation, we have Tosfos's explanation that takes the Gemara in a whole different way. Tosfos understands that Rabba and Rav Yosef before are also talking about Moshe Behena Ur. They're also talking about where the fire already started burning it.
That's what Tosfos learns.
That's it. Yeah.
So it's a repeat then?
No, it's not a repeat because before we were talking about Shach and Adorim, and here we're talking about Kodshid Bamas Yafin. So again, we said before that not necessarily would Rabba or Rav Yosef say that their din applies to Kodshim that was shechted outside the Azara in the time of Heter Bamas, because there still could be that distinction between the inside versus the outside, and between Roy Lamizbeach and not Roy Lamizbeach. So therefore, Rav Yana is asking the question regarding a Bamas Yafin. In other words, according to that, he'd be making more explicit the question that we said Rabba and Rav Yosef were not sure what their position would be on it. Right. So the difference is,
they're
talking about Bamas Yafin, whereas they were talking about Shechted in the South.
Right.
Okay. Onward. Okay, Ishmael, now we have another discussion. Shitas Laila B'Bomas Yachid. What happens? We're saying you bring a korban on a private bomb. If you shecht it at night, is it a kosher korban or not? Rav Shmuel, the Rav and Shmuel argue on that. Chad Om Achshera, Chad Om Apsula. One of them says it's kosher, one of them says it's possible. Rashi actually has the girsa that we know which one said which. Rashi's girsa is Rav says it's kosher, Shmuel says it's possible.
Are you allowed
to shift? Bamas Yachid. We're talking about during the period on Bamas Yachid on Muslim. That's the question. So we're saying that Rav says it's kosher and Shmuel says it's possible. And the Gemara says, but Kamislagi Bidrabalazar. Now, Rav and Shmuel are actually arguing regarding the psukim that Rabbi Lazar pointed out. The Rabbi Lazar Rami Kroy Adari. Namely, Rabbi Lazar pointed out you have a contradiction between two psukim, the back to back. Now, the background to the story is as follows. This is a story in Sefer Shmuel. This is shortly after Shmuel has become king. The Jewish people fight against the Plishtim. They win a big victory over them, and they capture a lot of animals from them. So The people are hungry, especially Shoal had told them they have to fast the whole day. That's a whole other subplot, but whatever the point is, they're extremely tired, they're extremely hungry, so they just start grabbing and shechting and then shechting animals and eating them. People come and tell Shoal there's a problem. The people are eating al hadam. Now the pasuk tells us, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kedoshim, loy soichlu al hadam. So what does it mean, loy soichlu al hadam? So there's a lot of different explanations. One explanation. No, this is, these are behemoths. Tisi Adam only applies to Chayas and Oyus. No. Okay, so you have, okay, so you have like, okay, hold on. You have a lot of different explanations. You have, some of the Mepharshim explain that Lo Sochlu Al Adam means, if you had a goyish ritual in those days, that people would kill an animal and eat right near the blood, because that way, like, the blood will attract Shadim or something like that, and that way they can benefit from getting to know them or whatever. So therefore, according to that, that would have been the problem over here, that people, now, maybe they're not doing it. I think that Ramban actually says on the Pasuk, in Kedoshim, that may have been what's going on over here. Shoal knows to ask the Urim V'Tumim, as we see in the Sukkim over there. The people are thinking, we want to know what's going to happen. Are we going to finish beating the Plishtim? So they want to start asking Shadim, so therefore they have the blood near them in order to attract Shadim. You have other explanations. It can also, another explanation that some of the Mepharshim bring, that Adak brings on the Pasuk and Shmuel, is that they're shechting the animal on the ground and the blood has no place to drain away. So now when they're going to be cooking and eating the meat, it's going to be full of blood. It's not going to be properly tashered. And then you have And then you have different other explanations. It can also mean, for example, now the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, there's a half a dozen halachas that we learn from this pasuk, Lo Sochlu Al Adam. Some of them don't necessarily have to do with this. For example, you have one of them is you're not supposed to eat before you daven. Another one is the Sanhedrin is not supposed to eat on the day that they execute somebody, etc. But anyway, what's relevant to here, one of them is that also you're not allowed to, if you shecht an animal, you're not allowed to eat from it until it stops moving, even though it's dead after the shvita. Still, you know, so according to some of the Mepharshim, that was the problem over here. Our Gemara over here is taking it in the sense that the problem was they had designated the animals as korbanos, but they're eating before the zrikat adam. The blood has to be sprinkled on a bummer, fine, a bummer k'tana, but they're not doing that, they're just going and shechting and not waiting for the zrika. So, you have like this, so so the people come and tell Shoal, so that's the thing, so the Chosid says that people came and told Shoal, there's a problem, the people are eating al-hadam, according to any of these various explanations. Our Gemara is taking that they're eating al-hadam in the sense, and that's Rashi mentions on the Pasuk as well, and the Radak mentions on the Pasuk as well, that what it means is the people are eating from the korban before the blood is sprinkled. And, so the Pasuk says, by Yomer, the Shoal says, Gadzem, you've done wrong, Goyle Revai Hayom Evan Goyle. Roll over to me today a big stone, and we're going to use this as the basis of a mizbeach, for people to sprinkle the blood. So the point is, the Pasuk is mentioning Hayyim, that he's saying today, implying that's during the daytime. But then the next Pasuk says, Vayomer Shoal Putsu Ba'am, Shoal tells his people, spread out among the people, go spread out among all the soldiers, and tell them as follows, Hagishu, don't just everybody shaft where you are, Hagishu Eli Ish Shoroi, the Ish Siyehu, each person bring over here to me your shur or your ox or your sheep, or shaftem bozev achaltem, you'll shaft them over here and you'll eat. And this way you won't be sinning against Hashem to eat al adam before the zrika. And the people all brought their oxen over there at night, so we see it was at night, and they shefted it over there. So you have a contradiction. Shoal is telling them, implying it has to be by day, because if it's by night, it'll be possible. But then, no, but that's there's no reason a mizbeach would have to be set up by day, and then the shchita would be kosher by night. No. That's the question. Is the shchita of kodshim kosher by night? So, Mar Mashani, so between Rav and Shmuel, again we said Rav would say that it's kosher to shecht oilus by to shecht korbanos by a bamach yachid at night. So and Shmuel says not. So Mar Mashani, so Shmuel would explain that the difference is kan b'cholim kan b'kodshim. That when it says by day, when it says by night, means the ones that they're shechting as chulin, where they weren't makdish then as korbanos in the first place. Fine, they're allowed to shecht them by night. actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it says, we'll learn about in the full investigation, shechting at night, you have to make sure you have enough light. Otherwise you have a problem, because there's a shchit that may, the shchit that may become possible, but provided you have enough light, then it's allowed. You have a fire, you have a torch, you have whatever, you have a flashlight, whatever. Yeah, okay. We'll learn in Kolban, actually. We'll learn in Kolban about it, actually. Whatever. Let's not get into it. Okay. So Kan B'Kodshim, whereas the other pasuk that mentions Hayoim is referring to the ones that are Kodshim, those have to be shechted by day. That's according to Shmuel. Omar Mashani, whereas Rav would answer, Kan B'Kodshim B'Magdala, Kan B'Kodshim B'Magdala. There would be a difference between the ones that they were maskish intending to bring them on the B'Magdala, which at the time was in Noiv. Those, we would say, have to be shechted. Those, even if you end up shechting them here at this rock that Shoal set up, nevertheless, you would still have to treat them like Kodshe B'Magdala and shech them by day, similar to what we were saying before in the different versions of Rami Bachama. Kan B'Kodshe B'Magdala, whereas the other one that says that they shechted them by night, it's talking about the ones where L'Hatchila, they were makdish them intending to be makdish them at a B'Magdala. For those, Rav would say it's kosher to shech them by night at a B'Magdala. That's the
machlokes.
That's Rav versus Shmuel. So, usually in Dine Issa V'Hesed, the halacha usually is like Rav. So that would mean, it would mean the halacha is like Rav, but it would in fact be kosher.
They
do it by night. As long as it was kosher b'makdala.
And
kosher b'makdala, and that's what we're saying, then
even
Rav.
Kosher.
Right. No, because these were kabbanas that were going to be eating. These were slumber. Yes. Okay. Isma. Now we have another discussion about kabbanas by a bomas yachid. Oilas bomas yachid. If you bring an oila on a private bama, Rav Oma ein t'una hefshet niturach. Rav says you don't have to strip off the skin and cut it up into pieces like you do in the Beit HaMikdash. You just offer it whole on the fire. Rav Yechanan Oma t'una hefshet niturach. Rav Yechanan says you do. And the Gemara says, the Komisvah Gibbid Rav Yosi Agli. Now Rav and Rav Yochanan are actually arguing regarding within the point that Rav Yosi Agli says. The Tanya, we learn the Braisa, Rav Yosi Agli, Oila Sheikrivu Yisrael Ba-Midbar, the Oila that the Jewish people brought in the Midbar, in the Midbar, at Har Sinai, which we talked about the other day, the Oila they brought right before or right after Matan Torah. So Rav Yosi Agli said, "Aim to una hefshet niturach." He said that korban did not require hefshet niturach, which we actually had a discussion about it the other day, whether it did or not. But Rav Yosi Agli says that not. She'ein hefshet niturach elok ma'oyom loyed ve'ela, because says Rav Yosi Agli, the concept of hefshet niturach only applies beginning from oyom loyed. Those dinim that you need hefshet niturach are first mentioned in Parshas Vayikra. Vayikra Moshe Vayadav Hashem Elok Ma'oyom Loyed Ve'ela. So those dinim are only being given beginning from the Chodesh Nisan of the second year when the Mishkan was set up. Is stripping off the skin and cutting it into pieces. So therefore, so Rav Yosi Agli is saying until the Mishkan was set up, you had no such concept. You just burn it whole. So therefore, so now Rav and Rav Yechanan are arguing what does Rav Yosi Agli mean by that? Mar Sava Me'oyom Moed Ve'elach. So Rav Yechanan, who says that a Bama Tana requires Hefshet Nitzurach, he understands Rav Yosi Agli to be saying, from when the Oyo Moed was set up and onward, Loishna Bama Gdola, Loishna Bama Tana, regardless whether this particular Oyo that you're bringing is at the Bama Gdola or the Bama Tana, either way it needs Hefshet Nitzurach. Once the rule was given in Parshas Vayikra, then it applies forever after. Mar Sava, whereas Rav holds no, with Bama Gdola and Bama Tana Loi. The whole concept that you need Hefshet Nitzurach was only given regarding the central Mizbeach in the Mishkan, and later on the central Mizbeach, which is renamed the Bava Gola, in Gilgal, and later on in Noiv and Giba. It was never meant to apply to a private Mizbeach in the first place. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rav Yechanan, you learn a braisa that goes according to Rav Yechanan's version, that you did need Hefshet Nitzurach by a private Bama, because the braisa says, Dvarim Shemen Bama Gdolah L'Bama Ktana, here are the differences between the big Bama, the Mizbeach, versus the small private Bama, Kerem, that only the public Mizbeach needs to have the four corners, the four protrusions on the top over there for the corners, the kevesh, and that it needs a ramp to go up to it, the yesod, that it needs a yesod around two or more sides of it, as we learned before, the ribua, it has to be square, all those things, the bum of Dola, all those things have to be in the bum of Dola, otherwise it's possible. The Ein Keren V'Yisod V'Kevesh V'Dibor V'Bomakana, none of these four things apply in a Bomakana. And here's some other differences. Kiyor V'Kane V'Bomakdola, when it comes to the Bomakdola, you have to have the Kiyor and its base have to be there, and as we said, the Kohen have to wash their hands and feet from it. The Ein Kiyor V'Kane V'Bomakdola, but you're not required to have that by the Bomakana. We said in the Mishnah, you don't even need Rechitas Yedayim Red Line. You don't need to wash your hands and feet before doing the Avodah at a Bomakana. And so that you don't need the Kiyo and you don't need a space over there. Another difference, Chaz of a Shirk with Bomakdola and Chaz of a Shirk with Bomakana. On the other hand, not the other hand, another difference is that you only need to wave and then give to the Kohen the Chaz of a Shirk of a Shlomin by a Bomakdola, not by a Bomakana. On the other hand, continues the Braith that Devarim Sheshavs, the Bama Gdola, the Bama Kana, here are the things in which a Bama Kana and a Bama Gdola are the same thing. Shift of a Bama Gdola Kana, both of them you have to shecht the animal, and that doesn't just mean at the actual shechting. Obviously, how else are you going to kill the animal? It also includes the Ginim of Shchita that we've learned earlier in our Masechta. It includes that you have, with the appropriate kind of korbanos, you have to have in mind the Shema. It includes that you can't have misasset, like you're just playing around and accidentally shech, which would be kosher by Kulin, but it's possible by Kavshim. It would include you have to have the various machshavas in mind, etc. Yeah. So in that sense, the bomb of Gola and Kana are the same thing. Continues the bright, the hefshit mitruach with Gola and Kana. Also, the stripping off the skin and the cutting off of an ola are the same in a bomb of Gola and a bomb of Kana. So there you go, that's what Rabbi Yechon is saying. Dam matir mufago begdolo kana. The sprinkling of the blood makes the meat mutter to eat by both the bamakdolo and the bamakana. And the sprinkling of the blood is one of the avodas where pigul can take place, both by the bamakdolo and bamakana. Mumin is man begdolo kana. And other differences are mumin and the deadline for eating the korban also applies by the bamakdolo and the bamakana. Now, why Mumin? Rashi says, because we don't have any place where it says that Mumin are mutter by Bamakana, therefore implicitly they're also. Mephoshim say, Achorinim say, what Rashi means by that is we're talking about Mumin of the person doing the Avodah. Even though we established before that a Zohar is able to do the Avodah by a Bama, you don't need a Kohen, etc., but it has to be somebody who doesn't have a Mum. The reason why is because if we're talking about not bringing a korban with a mum, that never mind that you don't have something that it says you don't need it by a bamakana, but actually you have a pasuk in this week's parasha when it says near the beginning of this week's parasha, loisizbach la'ashem alekecha sher v'se'ashe yiyah by mum. One of the meanings of it is even on a bamakana. So we have explicitly there that the animal can't have a mum. So if Rashi says we don't find any heter for a mum, he has to mean a mum of the person who's doing the avodah.
When was that said?
When was that said?
Yeah,
it's in Parshas Shoftim, the whole Torah was given before they went to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Okay. So that's the point is that this Braita mentioned that Hefshit and Yitruach apply in both places. So that fits with what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. That contradicts that. So that's it. Okay. Then we said the last words. The halacha would be like Rabbi Yochanan, then I guess. Yeah. In general, anyway, when you have a machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan anyway. Okay. Then our Mishnah had finished off, the last words of our Mishnah, Avol Noser Vazman Vatome Shoven Bezer Bezer, the dinim of Noser, that is once the korban is left, once the korban is left over, it has to be burnt, and Man, that you have a certain amount of time to eat the korban, and Tome, that's the dinim of if the korban can't be brought to Toma, and you're not allowed to eat it for Toma, those Shoven Bezer Bezer, those are the same by a bomb of Jolan and a bomb of Kan. So now we're going to learn a braisa, how we know those concepts. Learn a braisa. Minayin lasis man b'bamakana to b'makdola. How do we know that the same deadlines apply to the b'makana as the b'makdola? That, in other words, a shlomim can be eaten for 2 days and one night, same as by the b'makdola. Or that in the case of a mincha, according to the opinion that a mincha could be brought on a b'ma, then you'd have 1 day and one night to eat it. How do we know?
They like to say that there's nothing to say.
We're gonna argue back and forth, and eventually we're gonna.
What's the question? Look, Bamak Bani can't be called a kavod, right? I mean, the Bamak is
right. Yeah.
So nothing in Ma'amah is more than most of the longest and.
Why? You could argue the same way is by the Bamak Zola, as you said, you're allowed to bring all korbanos, but we said only a Kohen can bring them. By the Bamak Tani, you're limited in what korbanos you can bring, but you don't need a Kohen. You can have a Zor, you don't have to wash your hands and feet, a lot of the other rules don't apply, so how do we know? Okay. So the Kohen parenthesis over here, the Kohen parenthesis over here, the Son Kodshim takes it out on the ground, so it's okay. Omra Torah, long you start up a figure you start up. It's like this. We start by saying the Torah says anything that's left over of a carbon, no sir, has to be burnt. The Torah also tells us Tigel has to be burnt. Now Tigel possible bama, long possible bama. So we would say, just like Tigel is possible by a bama, so also long. We would make a mama Tigel. We make a binyan out, a bama chan. We'd make a binyan out between them. But oi cloth will get a flu, or we could go this way. So now again, so the Son Kodshim takes that out. Not the Son Kodshim, because Hazevach rather takes that out on the grounds that he says, where do we, and where do you know that Tigel was possible by a bomber? You're taking it as a given that Tigel was possible by a bomber, and you're learning one from it. New, Tigel was self, where do you know it's possible by a bomber? So he takes that out. Okay. So it's like this. The Ha'omra Torah, long you start up for Yoytzi you start up. Okay. The Torah tells us that anything left over from a carbon has to be burnt, the noiser has to be burnt. We also know that Yoyse, that anything that's taken out of its proper place in the Azara, also has to be burned. We discussed earlier in the Masechta that when it comes to Kodshim, anything that's taken out of the Azara becomes possible because it's supposed to stay in the Azara. We said this Kodshim column, okay, maybe not, because they're eventually going to be taken out of the Azara anyway. But Yoyse, at least in some cases, is Yisoris. Now, we would argue like this, my Yoyse kosher b'bama. Now, Yoyse is kosher by b'bama. By b'bama, you don't have a concept that you need to have an enclosure around it. A b'bama can just be in your backyard, and there's no specific area where the korbanos have to be around it. So therefore, I have one kosher b'bama. So you could argue that maybe if the korban is left over beyond the time, maybe it's also kosher by b'bama. If we're saying that Yoyse and one are similar, we know there's two cases. Not that they go together, but we could make a mama sinu from one to the other. We could say just like whatever applies to Yose applies to Lon. Yeah. If Yose, fine. If Yose doesn't apply by Bama, then maybe Lon doesn't apply by Bama either. Fine. Okay. All right. However, the law of however, we could argue back on that. We could say, yes, but you can make a Kavachomer on the basis of consider Korban as a verb. Ma oifus shena mum poisel behem is man poisel behem. Ma doch when it comes to birds, where mumim don't possible them, because we said earlier in the Masechta that by birds only mechoser aver is possible, only if it's actually missing a limb, or limb is non-functional or whatever, not just, that's more than a mum, that's mechoser aver. That we said is also even to b'nei noyach, even when it's more than a mum, it's like a super mum, sort of. As opposed to the regular kind of mum like dukin shabayin or whatever, like a cataract or little eyelid or whatever doesn't apply to birds, we said. So birds and mum doesn't pass to them. Yet man posts over them, and yet they have a deadline by which you can eat them because a chatasoy, you have only a day and a night to eat it. And of course the concept of pigle applies to them, that's when it comes to an oila sa'if, the Kohen were to have in mind during the malika or whatever that he's gonna sprinkle the blood at a later time, then it would be possible, or burn it at a later time, would be possible. So then, let's make a kavachomer, kodshim, bamakana, sham mum posabahan. Well then, kodshim is a bamakana, where a mum passels them, and here we mean a mum on the korban itself, not like we were saying before, a mum on the person. A kodshim bamakana where a mum passels them, ain't a din shazman posabahan. How much more so that time should passel them, that in other words, lina, beyond the time should passel them. So now we can go back and forth. So we have, on the one hand, we have an argument based on a mamasinu, on a binyan av, but from Yoseh, that lon shouldn't be an issue. On the other hand, we have a kavachomer from bud, that it should. You could slug up the kavachomer, mala oifas, shekain ein azor kosher behem. Okay, but you could say, you know what, by bud, have a different chomer, that azor can't do the avodah by them. Tomer v'bomakana shazor kosher behem. How do you compare that to a bamakana where a zor can do the avoda? And by the way, our gemara would have to be according to the opinion that we said before that you can't bring opus on a bama. But if you could bring opus on a bama, then obviously then a zor could do it also. Okay. So therefore, so since by a bamakana shal zor koshaba lo yehes man possible, so you should still argue that maybe man, maybe lina does not pass when it comes to a bamakana. So we don't know. So therefore, on the one hand, we can think to learn from Yotze. On the other hand, we can think to learn from Oif, but we can shlug up that Kavachomer from Oif. So therefore, because we would have thought now on the basis of our mamasinu and on the basis of having slugged up the kavachomer using the bird, we would think therefore zman does not apply by the bamakana. Talmud loymar, that is why we need a prophet to tell us the zoyt torah zevach hashlamim. This is the torah of the korban shlamim, and whenever it says the word torah, it means there's one torah, there's one rule that applies to all shlamim. And what does it talk about over there? With those Torah Zevach Shlomim, in that connection, it talks about the fact that a Torah, you have one day and one night to eat, and regular Shlomim, you have 2 days and one night to eat. And also, that's where we learn about Tegel. So therefore, Lasse, Man Bamakanek is Man Bamagdola. By saying with those Torah Zevach Shlomim, we mean, regardless whether the Shlomim is brought on the Bamagdola, regardless whether it's brought on the Bamakana, the rules that are mentioned in that section regarding Zman and regarding Tegel apply to both of them. And regarding to them also. All three of those things are in that section of Parashat Tzav.
Didn't we use previous days as Zevach HaShlamim?
We've said in general, we've said the word Zer Torah, Zevach HaShlamim, means that there's one Torah that applies to all Shlamim. So yes, we talked about it. I don't remember in what connection we talked about it, but yes, the rule, we did. The rule was, though, that with all Shlamim, similar rules apply to them. That meant, in other words, also as far as shlomim versus toida, because a toida is essentially a type of shlomim. So this is more of the same thing. Whatever rules apply to one shlomim that's brought in one place apply to a shlomim that's brought in a different place. That's what I mean. All shlomim are in the same category. That's how we often do in Brisas, that we try using mamasinus or kavachomers or whatever, and therefore eventually we end up with an actual pasuk. So that's it. So now we know. So when our Mishnah mentioned that Noiser and Pigul and Tome apply both by the Bamakana and by the Bamakana, this is where we get it from, because when it starts off those Torah Zevach HaShlamim, it continues by describing about the dinim of Zman. Zman for Toda versus Zman of Shlomim. It continues by talking about the dinim of people, im ha'ocho ya'ocho v'yem ha'shlishi. And it continues about Tomei, about Bosa, she'iga b'chol Tomei, lo ya'ocho, and anybody who eats for Tumor Soyolo. So therefore, we see that the same rules apply, and Zos Toda means that it applies to all Shlomim, regardless where they're born. Hadron alach torah chachos, curriculum assembly. We will, Beth Hashem, do the Siyum on Wednesday night, as we discussed.